All right, Barb is off at yoga, so what am I doing? I'm off recording another Mike M's Weekly Reads. So I have a bunch of questions to go over. I am reading a bunch of comics this morning for Gotham by Geeks, and it was kind of an assignment because they said we're covering some Batman miniseries. And man, I didn't really feel like reading Batman. I started Atari Force and I was like, no, I don't want to read Batman. And I'm like a little child. I'm like a baby. When I don't want to read something, it reminds me of like when you're assigned something in school and you don't want, oh, here's a book you have to read, and you don't want to read that book. You want to choose your own book and you have to read it. That's the way I get. I have that mentality. I read what I want to read when I read it. So, but sometimes you get homework. Well, this was homework, and I just want to say I was pleased with Shadow and Batman because I really liked Batman in Shadow. It was the same writer, Steve Orlando, and it kept up. It continued the story. So, when we left, Shambhala being destroyed in the previous series, this kind of takes off from there. So I was real pleased to see that, and I'm gonna have to get the artist's name because God, he's spectacular. At least to me, he is. Art is not a thing you could really argue about, but his name is Giovanni Tapano, and man, he drew good. Did a spectacular job. The other miniseries I was told I had to read was Batman Creatures of the Night. Haven't finished that yet. I'm almost done with book one. It's Kurt Busiek and Jean-Paul Leon. The art and the writer are fantastic. The story has just not hit me yet, and I'm almost done with issue one. And it's something that I've kind of seen before in other stories. But this one I don't know like where the hell they're going with it. Like I have no clue. But it's kind of one of those stories where you're just a regular kid and you have a mom and a dad and you love Batman, or in this case he loves reading comics about Batman and he experiences a tragedy with the same way that Bruce Wayne experienced it in comic books. And he aligns himself in seeing himself as Bruce Wayne. It's kind of strange, but it hasn't really clicked with me yet. And one of the things they do is I think there's Uncle Alfred, who's starting to take care of him now that the parents are dead, and he's narrating part of the story, and it's cursive writing, and it's kind of annoying me. I get it because he's like writing his diary, but I don't know. Just not a fan of that, the letter doing that. I understand it. And then when the boy's writing his diary, he's writing it in not cursive writing. I don't mind that so much. But there's that. I don't know how it's gonna end. I'm not enjoying it. That's why I took a break. I'm not hating it. I'm not loving it. I think it's all right. I'll give it a 3 out of 5 for so far. I like the Shadow Batman, but the book that really stands out is the Batman White Knight. I think it's fantastically written and drawn, and it's really working for me on all types of levels, and it. If you read it a certain way, it could stand out. It's by Sean Murphy with colors by Matt Hollingsworth, and Sean Murphy does the writing and the art. And I haven't read any of his. I've seen a lot of his books that he's drawn, but I have not seen stuff he's written. He's written like Orbital something or another and Punk Rock Jesus. I haven't read either one of those, but he can write, man. And his writing works for me, unlike Tom King, where everything he says, when he writes a panel is like going against my brain. I just can't absorb his writing. I struggle through his writing. And this works really a lot for me. And it's a crazy Elseworld story, but it's a story that is like so close that it could be a real story. Like it could be, if they wanted to go that way and change something so dramatically. It's so close. So enjoyable, and I think it's well received, at least in the communities that I follow. I don't know how the Gotham by Geeks guys will think about it, but I like it, and that's all that matters. So that's just a summary of three Bat books that are kind of like mini series. And what I think, I hope the Kurt Busiek turns, because that guy's amazing. So I hope it turns around for me. I'm drinking Dr. Pepper 10, if you wonder what I'm drinking. So two recent acquisitions, okay? And man, is it tempting just to finish this, but some of these books are so expensive. Is I almost have a complete run of Flash, and I'm talking about Volume 1. I'm not talking about the Golden Age, I'm talking about Barry, not including the showcases where he had premiered first. And my shop had a collection come in, unfortunately, it was some guy that passed away, and he was a Flash collector. He had some beat up books, but he had some really nice ones too. I picked up two of them, and one of them I was really happy to get because I've had it on my want list for a long time. It was a really nice copy, at least to me it is. What I consider nice is like a VG fine for a book this old. Like I'm pleasantly happy with the VG fine in this. And this is more like on the fine side as far as I'm concerned, but if I sold it, I'd sell it for VG. The one thing that stands out is the top staple. There's like a little bit of damage there. But it's the first appearance of one of my favorite rogues. And it has my favorite rogue on the cover. And it's Heatwave. It has Captain Cold. And they're both zapping him. And it says, "I'll cool the Flash off, Heatwave." And the Heatwave says, "I'll turn him into a cinder, Captain Cold." Two Flash foes fight it out for the honor of overcoming their common foe, and the heat is on for Captain Cold. Always been fascinated with the Rogues, and I remember buying this comic off the spinner rack with my own money, my own 20 cents, and I don't even remember the story so much, but I remember all the art in it, and I think it was when I read it, but it had the guy in the Flash Museum. There's the one guy with the fancy pads on his shoulders, and he run the museum, and he walks into the museum hall, and he sees all the rogues, the wax figures, standing upright, and Flash is there on the center of the floor, and he's dead. And it's one iconic image that I'll always have in my mind because it was one of the first comics that I bought with my own money off the spinner rack. And these are two of my favorite rogues, but I'm getting real close to having every single issue of The Flash. The ones that I'm missing are like, in the 105, 106, or wherever it starts to like 111, and then I start having some sporadic numbers, and this helps me. So I have Flash 140. It's not my earliest Flash. The other one I had has another key rogue on it. It's not his first appearance, but it's probably like his fourth. And it's Flash 142, and it has the Trickster on it. And the Flash is running after the Trickster, and the Trickster's blowing like a bubble. Like a kid's bubble, when you blow bubbles, and each bubble is forming underneath him so he can walk on these bubbles. And as soon as Flash jumps off the roof chasing him, he steps onto the bubble and it pops. And it's Perilous Pursuit of the Trickster. Really cool cover. Another VG fine. They have some covers that are. Matter of fact, if you looked at these covers, though, even though I would grade them in the VG fine, I always, if I was to ever sell something because of the anal retentiveness of people and the way they are, I would always downgrade one grade, even though I don't believe it to be that, just to be on the safe side. And then when I sell comics on eBay, which are usually duplicates and such, I always downgrade it one. Unless it's a CGC, or I know somebody graded it and I have the CGC label that I tore out of the CGC package, then I'll grade it whatever that is, even though my paws have touched it. Oh my God. Comics are meant to be read. But they have another book I'm eyeing, actually two books I'm eyeing, but they're close to the $200 range. One of them is like a very fine Flash with the second. I have the first appearance of Golden Age Flash in Silver Age, the Flash of Two Worlds, but they have the second one appearance of it, and I think Trickster also shows up on the cover of that one. And that's one I'm eyeing. And then the other one I'm eyeing is the Twilight Zone number one. Always been a big fan of the show. This Gold Key book is so pretty. It is so nice, and it's very tempting to pull the trigger on it, but I haven't yet. I'm being cautious. And I might even get some of these lower grade, like good books, just to fill in some of the flash. Like, cause there's some key books there. I think he's got the first Trickster, and it would be nice just to have that. But we'll see. I tend to like VG or higher. Anything below that, it's really tough, unless it's something really key that I could jump in on. So, after talking about that, I am going to jump into some questions. And we got some live questions, believe it or not, right now. These are some good questions, and these are some people that I talk to on Twitter a lot, and one of them's a real good friend of mine. And I have even met him in person at the convention. And that's Martin Ferretti of Nerdy Legion. That's my favorite podcast with him and Nick Wetmore, two of my favorite people to listen to, because they have a lot of sensibilities that I think I share. We don't always agree on what we like and all that, but we have the same fandom, I guess, excitement and stuff about things, and bright look towards things, even though we both don't like Tom King. Not as a person. As a person, he's fantastic, but his writing, oh man, I wish Sean Murphy was writing Batman. I'd be happy. I didn't know he was that, like, this to me, he's a writer that he doesn't have to draw, and I'd still follow his book based on what I'm reading with White Knight. But these are some good questions, so I'll jump into these, and then I have a whole slew. I might save some of them. Martin asks, initial thoughts on No Justice. I don't know much about this other than I was listening to a podcast picking up Harley's shit, and I was delinquent in picking up her poop. So I had two bags full, but I got all of it. So she has a clean yard now. And usually I have it picked up more frequent because she poops on the walks, and then I bring back the bag with me, and I walk with shit on the entire walk and then bring it back with me and then throw it in the trash. Hopefully she does it near the park, so there's trash cans there, and I throw it in those trash cans. But anyway, that's enough talk about poop. But I was listening to a podcast when I do housework, and Any kind of housework except something that's loud. There's two things I can't listen to a podcast with. I can't listen to them when I'm mowing the grass because the mower's too loud for me. And I'm near deaf in one ear, so that doesn't help. But I can listen to music and I'm able to absorb it, but I can't do a podcast. The second type that I can't do it is vacuuming because the vacuuming is too loud. But I can do music. All my other chores, anything else, I'll listen to a podcast. But anyway, I wasn't listening to Nerdy Legion on this particular case as I was picking up poop. I was listening to Comics for Fun and Profit. I listen to them even though I don't give two shits about making money on my comics because everything they recommend, I was buying anyway, just to read. And I know at some point I will care. Like, I'm not gonna live forever, and I want to live forever, but at some point I'm gonna have to offload some of this shit. There's just so much. I have a collection that's so large. It's so large. I know what Barb would probably want to do with it. She sell it to one of those guys that become the next Mile High collectors. No, the Mile High collection. I don't know. But if you sell bulk collections, you're not gonna make much. So it's gonna be tough. But I'm walking around talking, going off on all these tangents, and I haven't even got to the question yet. So his question is initial thoughts on No Justice. This is I think a Justice League event. I don't read any blurbs about news. Like if somebody posts stuff about news, I don't ever go to Newsarama or Bleeding Cool or any of the. Sometimes I follow Dan DiDio, and if he's on Facebook and he tweets something like about Superman's red trunks coming back, I'll see that news. But otherwise, I don't see news. And I've kind of fallen off the social media stuff, except for the weekends where I post what I read. And to tell you the truth, I don't miss it, 'cause it is a strange world, and I don't know. There's so much negativity in the world, and it's hard not to go to the world to the any type of social media and not see anything that's news. And I'll be honest with you, President Trump, he depresses the shit out of me. Every time he opens his mouth, I just can't believe this guy's. I take any president over him. He's just not. He's awful and not intelligent. The worst speaker I've ever heard in history. Speaks like a 14-year-old. I'm giving him too much credit. But anyway. No Justice is a Justice League event. A Justice League event. And I think it's going to be leading up to Scott Snyder, James Tynion launch of the new Justice League. And from what I can tell, they're breaking the team up into several different teams. Superman's got a team, Wonder Woman's got a team, Batman's got a team. And I can't remember the third one. It's like a mysticism team. But I can't remember if it had. Oh, Flash. Flash was in the fourth team. So you have some of the big leaders. There was no sign of Green Lantern. Martian Manhunter was there. I think he was in Superman's team. There's some odd characters in there, like Starro. Like, that's weird to me. There was Lex Luthor, although he has been in the Justice League when he's a good guy, but I still don't trust that fucker. Yeah, I don't know what to think. It seems like it's gonna be a weekly event. There's gonna be four comics coming out and then lead up to some Justice League book. Should be interesting. I mean, I'll read it. When I feel like it, because I'm a goddamn child and I want to read what I want to read when I read it. But we'll see. I like Scott Snyder and I like Tinian, and I think they do better when they're together because I think Tinian grounds them a little bit from being too wordy. But that's just me. We'll see where it goes. I don't know if they did the art team on that, or how or who's doing those four issues, if it is that team or that team's only doing the ongoing. So we'll see. Thanks, Martin, for the question. And then he said, saw your tweets, but would love to hear your thoughts on White Knight. I kind of already said that it's a masterpiece. I think it's one of the. I listened to another podcast, Comic Book Page, and there's three podcasts that I listen to. He has other ones, but there's three that I listen to. There's the Weekly Reads, which they go over a Marvel, a DC, and then some other book. And they try not to spoil it, even though they sometimes do, but it doesn't affect me at the level they spoil it. It's usually no more than a solicit, but I don't read solicits. But there's that one. I've been listening to that since it first came out. Like John Spondoff of Comic Geek Speak, and he used to talk the numbers on that. And then I followed his podcast to the Mayo Report Comics and the Mayo Report Trades. Normally I would skip the trades, but lately I've started loving the trades more. Collected editions have become a fascination of mine, but there's a strategy that's coming out that I'm going to try to get less trades because they take up so much goddamn space. And I love them, but a lot of the trades, not the hardcovers now, like you can get on Comixology and read it as a digital collection. And that's probably the way I'm going to go for a lot of things. And then if it's a Marvel book, there's a high probability it's going to be on Marvel Unlimited, which I think is fantastic. So loved White Knight. I think it's well, they use the term evergreen, and what an evergreen is like a book that always sells, like Batman Dark Knight Returns or Batman Year One or Watchmen or Swamp Thing, Alan Moore, or books of that nature, Fables. They're like evergreens that they'll show up again and again on the charts, even though they don't just show up the first time they're solicited. They show up over and over again. Well, I think that Batman White Knight is going to be an evergreen. He asked about Creatures of the Night, and I talked about that one a little bit. I said it's not lighting me on fire, even though it's the creators are like top notch. It hasn't. I could change my opinion, and I'm an idiot. Sometimes I say I don't like something, and then I read two more issues, and I say, well, fuck, what the fuck was I thinking? That happened recently with. I can't think of what happened with a comic book I read, and I changed my opinion of it. But it did happen with a TV show, The End of the Fucking World. I watched the first episode. I didn't think I was going to watch the rest of it, and then I finished it, and I thought it was one of the best series I've ever seen. It's definitely up there. So, yeah, things change. My opinions change. Sometimes I read something when I was younger too, and I didn't like it, and now I like it. And sometimes it's vice versa. Sometimes I like something back then, and I read it, and but anyway, I think White Knight is going to be an evergreen. And what I mean is that trade will always be in print, and it'll always sell if he sticks the landing, and I think he will. I think it's pretty doggone solid. The premise is. Batman is becoming more and more violent because of Alfred getting sick. And I don't want to spoil this, but he goes after Joker, destroys a lot of things, and forces Joker to swallow these pills that Joker was saying will make him better. And they do make him better. He becomes Jack Napier and wants to become a good citizen of Gotham. And he finds out a lot of things about the Gotham police and a lot of things about where money is being directed in Gotham for the destruction that Batman does. And it's a flip of roles where the Joker is sort of like the hero And you're on this journey. You're on this journey, and you're sort of seeing, you're sort of saying, "Hey, I could jump on this wagon and go against Batman." And you see, as passengers on this train, you see a Batgirl and Nightwing, and it looks like they're gonna jump on the Napier train. But I love the way he wrote the Harley Quinns, and if I say plural, and I don't want to say what that means, but it's really fantastic. And I've talked about Creature of the Night. The next one is from Ross Machado, who's a big Sergeant Rock, GI Combat, military, Nom, any kind of military comic fan, and I'm there with him. I was more of that when I was a kid, though. When I told you a long time ago, when I was a kid, that's what I bought. If I was gonna spend any of my well-earned allowance, it was gonna be on Sergeant Rock, Unknown Soldier, or GI Combat. And it was because me and my friend played a lot of Army Men, and it was like a big deal, to have the comics. Yeah, Ross loves the military comics, but he asked me, a cross-country road trip and you got three open seats. What superheroes are you taking as your road crew and why? Let's say I'm in the Durango and I can fit, let's see, five, six, seven people comfortably. Then, I know two of that would have to be there just because they'd make a road trip very fun. And that would be Booster Gold and Blue Beetle, Ted Kord Blue Beetle. They would be on that trip. 'Cause I'd find that fascinating. I think I would love to throw in I throw in those two, but just to keep the humor and stuff and the fascination going on. But god dang, I'd like to put in the whole truckload of the Defenders, that dysfunctional team that I love so much. I have Doctor Strange there. You gotta have Nighthawk. You gotta have the Woman of Valkyrie in there. I would take. So yeah, pack those three. Booster can sit on my lap. Blue Beetle would be in the front seat. In the middle seat, we could have Doctor Strange, Nighthawk, and Valkyrie. And in the back seat, let's go with, man, there could be Hulk's taking up the whole damn thing. And then you could throw in, man, Luke Cage would be fun in there as a defender too. You could throw him in the back there with the Hulk. And we'd have a hell of a ride, I tell you. I would love to hear these stories of these guys and just to have the snarkiness of the Hulk, saying all this dumb shit in the back. That'd be a fun road trip. So, yeah. And these road trips would change, except I think Booster and Blue Beetle would always be there because I think they'd make the ride a hell of a lot of fun. And when you're on a long road trip and you could pass time with conversation, that's better than anything in the world because an hour seems like nothing, and 8 hours will seem like nothing because you're so into the conversation and stuff. I think it would be fun. It would be like taking a trip with Keith and Daryl. of DC Noise, having Booster Gold and Ted Blue Beetle there. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Oh, and I'd throw in Valkyrie's husband that he wants to be with her because he's fascinating, Jack Norris. I'd throw him in the car too, because that guy's a lot of fun. And then I'd put the headman on the top of the Durango on the luggage rack. But yeah, okay, so that's a good question. I don't know if this is, oh, this is another question, man. I could just I think I'm gonna do all these questions, and then I'll do another set of questions, and then I'll have two episodes in the can, and then I can release them. I'd like to do two episodes a week. So Curtis Hempler says, "Did you read Damage Number One? What did you think? I really enjoyed it. The fold-out cover was goofy, though." I haven't read it. I received it in last week's DCBS shipment, but because I'm so busy at work, I've been putting a lot of overtime. I got my shipment, unpacked it, but then haven't done anything with it. So I have two shipments, one that arrived today and then the one that I got Wednesday. And I have to inventory them, get them into my database. I hope I like it. I compared this in a previous Mike M's Weekly Reads to the Bloodlines characters when they relaunched all the new characters in the Bloodlines annuals. And I just recently read the New 52 Bloodlines 6-issue series, which I absolutely love. I thought it was fascinating. I want more. I want more. Gotta tell you about that sometime. I gotta figure out what to do with DC Noise too, because Keith doesn't usually want to record. We trigger off of him, and it's become harder and harder. So I gotta figure out what to do with that feed. Do I keep it or do I archive everything off and then let it go? Or I don't know. I got to figure out what to do. I got to put something out so it's not just out there with old stuff. I just don't have time. I work is killing me right now, and I don't see it getting any better. Harley's a mess, so you're gonna hear me go outside, and I have to clean her because she brings in dead grass, because she rolls in it. But anyway, I look forward to reading Damage. This Damage looks more like a Hulk. It doesn't look like the Damage that I know, because there was a comic book called Damage. He was a member of the Teen Titans. That Damage was very different. He would blow up stuff. He was like a human bomb, and sometimes he blew up stuff, and he didn't want to blow up stuff. So yeah, he was Damage. I can't remember who he was dating. There was a woman that he fell in love with, yeah, in the Titans or one of the groups, and maybe it was in JSA when they brought Damage in. I don't know. I can't remember, but he was part of a team. I know he was in the Titans at one point, and I could have sworn he showed up as somebody in the JSA because his grandfather or father was somebody. I mean, you think, oh, who's the obvious one? Well, it'd be the human bomb. I don't remember the old white dots in my brain, but I do remember there was a Damage series and I have read it. So thank you for the questions, and I'll wrap this one up and come back with another one, and then I have to append the what I read that week. But those are some good questions. Thank you, Curtis, Ross, and Martin. And we'll talk to you later. Bye. Hello and welcome back. We just had a few questions, and now we're going to get into the weekly reads for February 27th, 2017 through March 5th, 2017. And if we start at the bottom, we have a total of 24 comics that week. Not that much. But I've had worse lately. I've been working so much that I don't have time to read. And the only time I've had is like Saturday mornings if nothing's going on. and maybe a few Sunday night, and the sporadic stuff I can read when I can't sleep. So, yeah, I'm falling dramatically behind. Sorry, I'm drinking some tangerine lemonade. But only 24, 4 Marvel, 20 DC. And again, this was the time when I was fairly current on DC, and you can tell by the numbering because of Rebirth. So we had Justice League number 16 was a 3 out of 5. Superman and Batman work with the group in relative time. Other leaguers are out of time, and it's the Timeless storyline part 2. This was decent. All the stories have been decent, but they've been so similar. That's why I don't think I mean, it's entertaining, but it's nothing to grab me and really like it. I just am okay with it. So it's a 3 out of 5. Aquaman number 18. This is an interesting one to get a 3 out of 5 because Aquaman's usually a 4 out of 5. But this was the finale with Warhead, the origin of Warhead. Aquaman takes him to Atlantis, and the next villain up is Dead Water. We have another 3 out of 5. That's Batman 18. No surprises with that. Usually it's a 3 out of 5, sometimes a 4 out of 5, sometimes it's a rare 5 out of 5, and I just don't. I'm not enjoying the writing or the dialogue. The story's fine, the dialogue's been taking me out. But this one was the similarities between Bane and Batman, and I put a note, did not like the dialogue about, as he talked about their mothers, Bane defeats Batman, but Catwoman fake getting caught and frees all of Batman's allies. We then jump into the 4 out of 5s. We have Elektra, Volume 2, First Ongoing. It's the first ongoing series for Elektra. And she tries to be. This is number 1 through 4, by the way. And I'm reading it. I don't own these issues. I am reading it. It's not an epic collection, but it should be an epic collection. But it's just the complete collection of this volume. And I think it was 18 issues, I think. Tries to become good. She starts a dance studio with this one weirdo. She's stalked by Bullseye but defeated. Gets 16-year-old's father killed when she's fighting Bullseye. And that 16-year-old then goes into prostitution, and then she has to rescue her. She fights this character who goes on through this series, at least through the midway point, if I remember correctly, called the Architect with Doctor Strange. It's a really interesting, strange story, and it even gets stranger with that dance studio weirdo guy. She forms like this dojo where she trains people to fight with two other guys. And that she decides as one of her extracurricular activities to join this dance studio, and she's going to be a featured dancer with this one guy, and it gets really interesting later on. And I think it involves the architect and a sex change. So yeah, I enjoyed that. 4 out of 5. We have Green Lanterns number 8. This is usually a 3 out of 5, but this was a 4 out of 5 because it's the origin of Val-Thume. I tend to like Green Lanterns when they focus on the villains. That those are the ones that I enjoy quite a bit. We have Cyborg number 10, fights a rat gang lord who is recruited by Anomaly. A new heroine joins forces with Cyborg and Sidekick on the run for attacking Star Labs. The Cyborg and his sidekick is on the run for attacking Star Labs. Superman 18, a missing entity from Mr. Oz's place, takes Jonathan Kent. This entity gets really strange as you read on, and it ties into a Manchester Black storyline. It is very strange. We have Green Arrow number 18. Arsenal goes to help at a reservation where he was taught as a young kid growing up, and then Ollie shows up. We have the last 4 out of 5, which is I really like it, was the fall and rise of Captain Atom number 3. He returns to the current timeline and finds his wife dead, and he has a son, and he does not want to go back to work for Ealing. Then we get into the 5 out of 5s for that week. We have Batgirl 7 through 12 and Annual number 1. This is the Cassandra Cain, and I own the individual issues, but I did buy the trade paperback as well. And I read the entire trade paperback, and this was 7 through 12 and Annual number 1. Cassandra fights Lady Shiva and almost gets killed. She can't be Batgirl because she lost the ability to anticipate moves, and Batman kind of says, "Hey, maybe you shouldn't be Batgirl." Batman goes after Kane to try to help Cassie, and he beats the crap out of Kane. But Kane wants to protect Cassie. Cassie makes a deal with Lady Shiva to get her abilities back at the cost of having to fight in 1 year with Lady Shiva to the death. She fails to save a boss stalked by a former worker who has a metagene, and the annual Batman and Casey fail to save a young Indian actor, and it's the first appearance of a shapeshifter, Aruna. And I think that was a Bloodlines one. I'm pretty sure it was. Annual. But I'd have to go back and look. But usually those Bloodlines had new characters in them. And the thing is you learn when this series started off, Cassandra was awesome because she had the ability to anticipate moves and she didn't talk much. And then she lost that ability and she struggles for a long time. And it showed a lot of failures. It was really well written. Again, I think I was reading from another trade, and these I have the singles as well. But they re-released Checkmate Volume 2 by Greg Rucka. So there's a Volume 1, this is what I'm talking about, and then Volume 2 just came out like within the last week, I believe, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. This actually features the Great Ten. Checkmate gets China's vote and remains. Alan Scott is replaced by Mr. Terrific. Sasha and Michael, that's Mr. Terrific, has a relationship, has to stop because of a promotion. Sergeant Steel and DEO, they have a crossover, and an undercover agent is compromised. The Suicide Squad tricked to work for Waller. Mirror Master, Punch, Julie, Icicle, Tattoo Man, the first one. Javelin has to rescue a young boy with the power of a sun. So it's really cool because of the Suicide Squad. I love when the Suicide Squad shows up. And then to top it off, you had a Mademoiselle Marine becomes Knight of Sasha. Like what I mean knight, like because you got chess pieces, right? A knight. Mr. Miracle gets Thinker. So a lot of interesting thing. Mademoiselle Marie w was once with Alfred Pennyworth, and they had a daughter. So that's also very interesting. That's where you get the Penny too, and she's in Batwoman. And she was in many other series. I think she was in Batman and Robin Eternal, and maybe even Batman Eternal. Really great. We have Nightwing number 16. He finds out about Shan's Zhang, who's his girlfriend, is pregnant. He faces off with Damian, but then finds out he has to return home only to find Shan gone, and Deathwing is there. So that is that week, and again, the 5 out of 5s are Batgirl 7 through 12, Annual number 1. I think it's Volume 2. Might be Volume 1 as far as ongoings. That's with Cassandra Cain. We have Checkmate Volume 2, 4 through 7, and Nightwing number 16. And thank you again for listening. Really appreciate it. Any feedback or questions, please send them to mike@comicbooknoise.com or my Twitter handle @MikeMyersBrunch, or you could catch me at the Geek Brunch Podcast Facebook page or at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening. And if you get a chance, I would appreciate an iTunes review. Thank you very much. Bye. Just gotta find the stop button.